One of the daily responsibilities of a Kohen Gadol was to bring what's called the Chavitin, the special mincha offering that he had to bring, half in the morning, half in the evening. He had to pay for it with his own money, and yet there's a debate whether it was considered a private offering or something on behalf of the entire Jewish people. That's from our parasha this week. But parasha Seinu Mavur Din Chavita Kohen Gadol, our parasha talks about all the halachas that encompass this particular offering, this mincha offering that he brought, which is Hachiyuv Amutal Kohen Gadol Avim Mi Beisa Mi Mamonai, that every single day the Kohen Gadol had to bring from his own house, from his own property, Korban Mincha B'chol Yom Tamid, a mincha offering daily, Machatzisa Ba'boker Machatzisa Ba'orev. The pasuk says half of it is brought in the morning, half in the evening. Now Matzinu Machlokes Tanoim. So now there's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. What happens if the Kohen Gadol passes away, God forbid, in the middle of the day? Im Meis Kohen Gadol. Let's say the Kohen Gadol passed away. V'loy Minu Acher Tachtov, and they have not yet appointed his successor. So Mishal Mi Oisa Minchas Kohen Gadol Kareva. Who would be the one responsible for, and from whose assets would the mincha of the Kohen Gadol be brought? So Rabbi Shimon Oimer Shem Abin Oisim Imamenat Tzibur Mishal Tzibur. Rabbi Shimon says the community has to chip in, and they have to pay for the chavitin of the Kohen Gadol to be brought in his absence. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Sheyosha Kohen Gadol Mevim Es Korban HaMincha. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says the family, his immediate heirs, they're the ones who have to bring the, or at least supply the funds for the Korban Mincha on behalf of the Kohen Gadol. Ad Sheyismaneh Kohen Gadol Acher Mishal Yoshin, until there's the next Kohen Gadol who obviously would have been one of his heirs. Question is, why are they having this debate? Of a Gemara Huva Braisa Shabbat Mavur Tama Machloikas. So the Gemara Menachos quotes a Braisa that explains the motivation behind the two perspectives. Rabbi Yehuda Dershus Akosa. They're both looking at the same pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda emphasizes in the pasuk where it says, "Va'koyin Amoshiach Tachto Mibonav Yase Oiso." The Kohen who is anointed from his sons in his place, that's who has to bring this chavitin. Says Rabbi Yehuda, "Da'achi Mashma." That implies Ha'koyin Amoshiach Kishen Meis. When that anointed Kohen, otherwise known as a Kohen Gadol, should pass away, then in his place, one of his children should present it on his behalf. Rabbi Shimon loymit ben Akosav, whereas Rabbi Shimon learns it from the part of the pasuk that says, chok oylam, that this is something that applies across the span of history, and he learns the word oylam, which is a time word. He learns it also, mishel oylam, that it's a community word, meaning to say that the money, the funds that pay for the Kohen Gadol's mincha, if he's not there, is Michel Tzibur Mitumas Halishka. Do you take that out of communal funds, which are stored in where the half shekel goes to contribute towards the things that are communal offerings in the Beis HaMikdash? So Mishnah Mishnah Michel Mi Hoysa Krevi. Let's go back to the Mishnah Menachos, which said, from whom should they bring this mincha? And likewise, when you have a look at the words that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon have said, Mashma Shechiv HaKrova Midereisa Kishalamino Achet Tachtav Enechiv Bifnei Atzmoy. So it's really interesting. Nobody says, who's obligated? Are we obligated to bring this mincha? That's taken as a fair complete, that even though the Kohen Gadol is no longer with us, there is no new person who now has to create a new obligation to bring the mincha. It's not chiyuv nifrad. We do not see this as an independent obligation besides the Kohen Gadol's previous obligation, obviously before he passed away, but rather, in other words, nobody, not the Mishnah, not the Braisa, is implying that the Torah now innovates a new mitzvah. After the passing of the Kohen Gadol, a new mitzvah bringing a mincha, but rather as a hemshech v'yisug d'chiyuv ha'akrovah shel ha'Kohen Gadol atzmoy. It's pretty clear from all of the language that whoever's now going to step in and bring this korban mincha is effectively continuing what the Kohen Gadol had begun, rather than starting a new process. And that's really interesting information, because v'apizei shleima, that would then lend us to understand shaprukta b'dosh zaksuvim k'shur l'machloiches b'tekchono shakobin chavit ha'Kohen Gadol gam k'shek Kohen Gadol atzmoy makriboy. So if there's now a debate about how we treat the chavitin after the Kohen Gadol passes away, before his successor has been appointed, and we know that whoever's now going to bring these chavitin will be doing so as an extension of the Kohen Gadol, that means that the nature of the debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon must reflect their two views about the chavitin of the Kohen Gadol himself when he is bringing it. You know, a normal Kohen Gadol is bringing it. So what are they arguing about? Begeder chavita Kohen Gadol. So when we try and define what this mitzvah of these chavitin, this mincha is, so we know that he's going to pay for it, and we know that it's named after him. It's called the Kohen Gadol's offering. Still yesh lachkor, there's still room for a legal exploration over here. If the Kohen Gadol is bringing this offering, is it considered as if it was a private offering brought by a private citizen? Or because of his public office, is his offering now, in a sense, like a public offering because he's a representation of the Jewish people? And the only way we'd be able to resolve that is to dig into some of the commentators about why this korban is brought. We're going to look specifically at the Sefer Chinuch and the Rabbanel. So Chinuch mevor, the Sefer Chinuch says, Mishorsha mitzvah, as he always does, he says, what's the root behind this particular mitzvah? He says, you have to remember the Kohen Gadol is our proxy to confront, you know, to deal with Hashem in a sense. Kolomer, in other words, ki hu hanoyse tefila elav ba'adam. The Kohen Gadol offers prayers on our behalf. Val diyadei tefila sov ma'asim karbonoisov miskrapim heimen. Because of his prayers, and because of his karbonos, we benefit because we're atoned for. V'lachin ro'oi le'ish kozelios le'korbon miyuchot tomid k'moy t'midei ha'tzibur. Therefore, the Sefer HaChinuch says, because the Kohen Gadol is the representative of the entire Jewish community, therefore it is appropriate that he should have some unique karbon, which is akin to a public sacrifice because he's representing the public. And they'll have a benefit both for him and for the community. So if he has bezenim, so if you go with the Sefer HaChinuch's approach, it turns out that all year round, under ordinary circumstances, when there is a Kohen Gadol and he's bringing his chavitin, he's doing so in order to attain for the entire community, which is al derech tamidei hatzibur, very much the same kind of thing, theme as the communal offering that's brought every morning and every afternoon on behalf of the community. Especially the timing actually aligns. When does he bring his chavitin? At the same time, we're bringing the korban tovid. So for the Sefer HaChinuch is of the opinion that the reason that the Kohen Gadol is bringing this korban in the first place is because he is representing the community, and therefore his personal chavitin actually has the flavor of a communal sacrifice. But there are others who disagree. There are various, many other commentators who imply that no, yes, the Kohen Gadol is a representative of the public, but his korban is his personal korban. And you can actually see this reflected in many of the reasons offered for why he brings this particular korban. Like I said, we're going to look at the Abravanel, who brings multiple different explanations. We're only going to look at two of them. Well, look, Dugma. Abravanel, mehivi kama v'chama taime, or mehem, some of the suggestions that he makes is, g'day l'achris difnei Hashem ba'anova, or v'simon adalus. So what's he bringing? He's bringing a mincha offering, which is actually the cheapest or the most simple out of all of the offerings, and that is for his own sake, so that when he approaches Hashem, he does so from a perspective of humility. That's why he's bringing a humble korban. Ke'oni v'even anitziv ifnei adon kol ha'aretz, like a person who is destitute, standing in front of the master of the universe. One explanation. The other explanation he gives is Shiratza Hashem Shabakol Yoim, you crave him the fun of Korban Yoch, Vikorban Sivakole, Derek Kalu Derek Pratkole. Actually, a different possible reason is because the Kohen Gadol, as both a person representing the community and as an individual, is expected daily to bring offerings on behalf of the community and to bring offerings on behalf of himself. So it's the principle Kalu Prat is representing the broader community and he's representing himself. Either way, now we can say that this debate between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, when there's the question about the Kohen Gadol who passes away and nobody has been appointed as his successor, and now we want to know, so whose money is going to be used to fund these chavitin in his absence? So Rabbi Huda says the family and Rabbi Shimon says the community must obviously align with these two types of approaches to why this korban exists in the first place. So if you're going to go with the thinking where the Kohen Gadol is bringing this offering similar to a Korban Tzibur, then logically, well, if you don't have a Kohen Gadol to actually bring this particular offering, then obviously the community has to stand, you know, step up to the plate, because at the end of the day, the Kohen Gadol was representing them. He's not able to do it, so they've got to do it. But if you go with that Bravanel and others who say that actually his chavitin offering has nothing to do with the community, it's a personal offering on his behalf, then you get Rabbi Huda's argument, which is, well, if in the absence of the Kohen Gadol, his family has to step in to discharge his responsibility. So now with that in mind, now that we know that it would seem Rabbi Huda is of the view that the family is the one who has to supply these chavitim if the Kohen Gadol passes away, because the offering is actually his personal offering. So with that in mind, that will help us understand the way in which the Rambam proposes this halacha in his Mishneh Torah. Pasuk Rambam, the Rambam says, Meis Kohen Gadol b'shachres. What happens if the Kohen Gadol passes away in the morning? Achar she'ikriv chatzi ha'yitzon. After he's already brought the first half of his chavetin offering that morning. V'loy minu Kohen acher. And they haven't had an opportunity yet to establish who's going to succeed him. Then mevim ha'yoshin. So there, the Rambam says clearly it's the family, his heirs, are the ones who have to then supply the korban, the chavitin, on his behalf. Isoran shalom avur kaparosai, and they have to give the full 10 isoran, the full isoran, which is a particular measure of flour, that's how much they have to give, and avur kaparosai to atone for him individually. But a chayre in a moven doesn't really seem to make sense. Ma teichan isof ozoi. Why does he have to add this information? Why doesn't he just say the family are the ones who have to supply the chavitin? Why do they say that it's for his atonement? Where did the Rambam even learn that from? But knowing Rabbi Yehuda's shita, and based on the opinion of the Bravnel and others that this is because it's his personal korban, then it makes sense. The Rambam here is alluding to the reason. Why is it the heirs are the ones who are now bringing the chavitin on his behalf? What's really intriguing over here is that Rabbi Yehuda did not say his sons, who theoretically could be, one of them could be the next Kohen Gadol, that they're the ones who bring the chavitin, but rather it says Yoshin, his heirs, which may include brothers, which may even include daughters. So that's really interesting. So now we learn something really interesting, that it is possible that other family members have the right on his behalf to present the chavitin offering. Of course it goes without saying, if one of his sons is the suitable heir to take over as the Kohen Gadol, obviously he's going to bring the chavitin on behalf of his father. Because subsequently he's going to be the Kohen Gadol, so that makes sense. Which implies really he's actually a potential Kohen Gadol already now, which means he's got a finger in the pie already, and therefore it's not so far-fetched for him to bring the chavitin on behalf of his father. But the Rambam, learning from Rabbi Yehuda, is telling us even any of his children who are never going to be a Kohen Gadol, they're going to be regular Kohanim for the rest of their lives. Said they can also bring the korban on his behalf. And the hint at that is that when the Kohanim were inaugurated into service originally, they brought chavitin, so therefore they kind of have a connection to this. But the chiddush is even greater. What if the Kohen Gadol had no male children? Which means that his heirs are his daughters. Here's the chap. They would actually be responsible to facilitate the bringing of these chavitin on his behalf. Obviously, the girls are not going to come into the Beis HaMikdash and bring the chavitin, but it's their responsibility to make sure that it happens or to pay for it. So, v'tzorech iyun, minayin Rabbi Yehuda chidush zeh. Okay, so the Rambam is getting this information from Rabbi Yehuda. The question is, where does Rabbi Yehuda get it from? Shagam ha'yoshim stam begam bonus bichlal, that any heir, including daughters, chayovim lahovim korban zeh, would be responsible to bring the chavitin on behalf of their father. But lo rakim afresh b'pasuk bonav. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get that from? Seeing as the pasuk said clearly bonav, which implies only sons. That's what the Rambam is going to address. And Mataratzu is the Rambam. That's why the Rambam tells us that when these heirs step in to bring the chavitin now in the absence of their father, who's no longer able to do so, it's not their personal korban, they're completing his, the father's atonement. They are closing a circle on behalf of their father who bequeathed this opportunity to them. Because one of the reasons, or maybe a key reason, why the Kohen Gadol brings the chavitin on a daily basis is to atone for himself. So therefore, it's not considered their personal korban. They are the facilitators of their father's korban. They are just, at this point, the representatives to bring their father's korban, and therefore they don't have to be on the way to becoming a Kohen Gadol. They don't even have to be sons. It's a fascinating insight. Okay, so what do we know so far? We know that there are two possibilities. It seems that Rabbi Shimon is going with the view that the Chavit Kohen Gadol is a communal offering, and therefore the communal funds step in if he dies. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that it's a personal offering, and therefore the family funds have to step in if he passes away, but it's his offering, and therefore any children, including girls, could bring it or facilitate it on his behalf. So now that we understand that there are these two possibilities about the chavitin, that either it is some form of a public offering, Rabbi Shimon's view, or alternatively, we could argue that they are very much his personal korban, Rabbi Huda's view, With that information, Yuvan Gampir Shashel HaPosuk, we'll be able to understand Rashi's interpretation of the Pasuk, and we're going to compare his interpretation here to two other places where it really doesn't seem to make sense. Rashi says this. The Pasuk tells us, that the Kohen who is anointed beneath him or in place of him, his sons will bring this chavitin. Kol il tochter, and has to be completely consumed on the Mizbeach. So Rashi matikas atevis ha-Mashiach tachto mibonav. The first thing that Rashi does is he takes the words out of the Pasuk. Ha-Mashiach, the anointed, tachtov, in his place, mibonav, from his sons. And before Hashem, he jumbles it around. And he says, ha-Mashiach mibonav tachtov, the one from his sons who is anointed in his place. So that's strange. Then, v'chakach matik Rashi kol il tachtor, and then Rashi uses this, well, quotes this expression, that the mincha has to be completely consumed on the Mizbeach. And before Hashem, he says, you don't remove the kmitza. Remember, whenever you bring a mincha offering, you take a kmitza, three fingers of the flour, and that's what goes onto the mizbeach. Here he says the kmitza is not that the remainder of the mincha should be eaten, like it might have been with other menochos, but everything has to be burnt on the mizbeach. So we have a bunch of questions over here, because if we do Burai Horishin and Emuvan Kedir Kamafoshin, what's strange about Rashi's first comment is, Maya Kavanas Rashi appears there. What is Rashi out to achieve with this commentary? Shakol Toichnuhu Hefech Seda HaTevis BePasuk. All it sounds like he's doing is rearranging the order of the words in the Pasuk. How does that add any value or insight? Mamishtano Noisim Avonas HaPasuk HaLidezeh. How does it change or add value to our appreciation of the Pasuk by jumbling up the words? Vegamadi Burai Hasheni Kosha. And at the same time, the second Dibra Maskel that he quotes also is difficult to understand, because Mama Chadish Kan Rashi. What's Rashi telling us that we don't already know? Kolil Tachtor means it's going to be burnt completely on the Mizbeach, and that's effectively what Rashi says. Pashtus Aloshin Kolil Tachtor Ein Ela Pirush Echad. There's only one way to translate Kolil Tachtor, and that is Shemaktirin Eskula Al Gabe Mizbeach Veinishan Dover Lachila, that you burn the thing completely on the Mizbeach, there's nothing left for the individual Kohanim to eat. So what's Rashi telling us? But it gets more profound. But yes, okay. Rashi atzmei nokat li'il loshen zoi. Rashi earlier already used this expression. He says, "Ein li ela minchas Yisrael shenikmetzes." I know that it's only a mincha brought by a non-koyen where we take the kmitza, whereas minchas koyen shehi kolil chulei. If a mincha is brought by a koyen, it's completely consumed. Rashi used the word kolil, same word as in our pasuk. V'loi hoseh biribaz, and didn't feel there in his interpretation that he had to explain what kolil means. Harish appears a lashon kolil movement, but pashtus, which implies that the word kolil is a well understood word, shemaktirin va'ishas akorban kolil, which means you burn something completely till it's totally destroyed. So why then does Rashi have to now explain it in our case of arichos rabba with all of this detail? Ein nikmetzes, you don't take the kmitza liyoshi oren echolin with the intention to eat the leftovers, and a kulo kolil, but it's all burnt. Well, isn't that self evident? Not only that, so it's for you. La lona la pasuk shalach reze, just the next pasuk over, says, v'chol minchas koin, any time that a koin brings a mincha offering, kolil tiyeh, should be completely burnt on the mizbech, lo te'ochel, and you don't need it. So Pirush Rashi, sateva kolil, there Rashi again explains the word kolil, and this time he says, kulo shavet agovoya, it is all equally given to Hashem. V'tomo b'yoysis, and that's really strange. The first time Rashi refers to kolil, he uses it as if it's a known word and doesn't even explain it. Then in our pasuk he says, well, actually kolil means that you don't take the kmitza in order for the remainder to be eaten. And only the third and last time essentially that he addresses it is when he tells us what kolil really means, which is that everything is given to Hashem. Why do it in such an unusual way? The explanation is this. We have to, as always, identify what question is it that Rashi seeks to address in his commentary. So what does he seek to address? The fact that you have two psukim that look so similar, and yet the words are actually different. The first pasuk, which is talking about the mincha that is brought by the Kohen Gadol, there the pasuk says, kolil toktor. It should be fully toktor, burnt. Whereas the second pasuk, which is talking about a kohen who brings a korban mincha, there it says nemar kolil tiyeh, not toktor. What's the difference? Rashi identifies if the Torah is using two different descriptors for the word kolil, then there are obviously two different ways that kolil works. And that's what Rashi is highlighting by using more words than we would have expected. al kolil toktor, pirshashi. So when it says kolil toktor, toktor is an expression of being brought as an offering, like the word ketores. Enik metzis, the yosher on necholin, el kolil kolil. There Rashi says, the kmitzah is not taken in order that we should be able to eat the remainders, but rather everything is burnt on the mizbech completely. So barichus l'shein in bo Rashi lehavres kavanosei. By using extra words, Rashi is clarifying his intention, which is, she kolil toktor enoi bo lishloles in an kmitzah. That you would think, oh kolil, if it's going to be completely burnt on the mizbech, then don't bother making the kmitzah in the first place, because what's the difference? It's all going to be burnt on the mizbech. Rather, he's telling us a mincha to uno kmitza. This mincha does have to have the kmitza removed like a normal mincha would. It's just that once you remove the kmitza, now the surprising law is whatever's left behind in the mincha also gets burnt completely on the mizbech, which is not common. We do have this elsewhere, and that is the Gemara Sota tells us about the case of a Kohen's wife who brings a korban. So we remove the kmitza because that's what's required, but technically it's not a Kohen bringing the offering, so the kmitza has to be burned, but technically you can't eat the rest because obviously what she owns is also her husband's, and he's a Kohen, so it can't be eaten as well. So, Zeo Pirish. So, and he has the expression from Sota, you bring the koimetz on the mizbech separately and the rest of the mincha independently of that. That's what Rashi is telling us is the meaning of kolil, that means will be completely burned, but toktor in a way that part of it is actually brought as an offering. That everything, although in two parts, is burnt completely on the mizbech. Whereas when it says with regards to the koim, b'chol minchas koim, that any time a Kohen brings a mincha, then kolil, totally burnt, tiyeh, it should be, pirushoi kuloshava degavoya. Then the message is that every part of this mincha is equally dedicated to Hashem. Mincha zoi einba, hischalkus lukomitz v'shirayim. Here the implication is that this mincha is not split into two different elements, the kmitza part and the shirayim part. El kulom mukteres v'shova legavoy. Everything is equally put onto the mizbech in one shot, dedicated to Hashem. Ve'einba kmitza klal, no segment is separated by the kmitza. So, and that's implied in the words kalil, it should be completely burnt, tiyeh, as it is, not once it's been separated. Now why? Why that distinction between the Kohen Gadol and the regular Kohen's mincha? My time in the chilek zesh by minchas Kohen Gadol and minchas Kohen Stam. Now that we know this information about the two perspectives on what a Kohen Gadol might be, either a representative of the community or himself, so we can actually start to understand it. Rashi noted, "Bipshutu shamikas shachavita Kohen Gadol aboyim tamed b'chol yoyim einam begeder korban shakohen gadol mevi b'teras yochid." Rashi is of the view, similar to Rabbi Shimon, that the Kohen Gadol bringing the chavitin is not doing so in a personal capacity. It's not his personal sacrifice. Ba'oisoy ha'asuk shal minchas kohen stam. Therefore, his chavitin are different to a mincha brought by a regular kohen. Because it's not just that it's the same mincha, but this is a different person bringing it. It's a different mincha. It is not a personal carbon. It's a carbon he is bringing as a representative of the nation. Very much along the lines of the carbon tamid, which is a full-blown communal sacrifice. And so these chavetin are a partial communal sacrifice. So if Rashi is going with that view, similar to Rabbi Shimon, that it is the Kohen Gadol bringing something on behalf of the community, that would explain why the Kohen Gadol's mincha, unlike a regular individual Kohen's mincha, does have to have the kmitza portion taken from it. Because this is not in the same category as a regular private mincha of a private Kohen. But rather, this is much more as if he was bringing a communal offering. If it's a communal offering, it has to conform to the laws that apply to regular menachos, which is that you have to have a kmitzah. But once you remove that kmitzah, then you realize who's bringing this korban? A kohen gadol. Well, if he's a kohen gadol, he's obviously bound by the same laws as a regular kohen, which is that you can't eat the remainder of the flour that is left behind after the kmitza has been brought. And that's why Rashi, before getting into this, quoted the earlier part of the pasuk and jumbled up the words where he said, which explains how Moshiach mibonov tachtov. How does that help us? Kavonas Rashi b'kachi lishlo b'pshut ishal mikra. Rashi, who again is aligning his explanation with the simplest understanding of the pasuk, wants to clarify for us that we are not following as pirusha shel Rabbi Yehuda. We're not following Rabbi Yehuda's view. Because the Fibirish Rashi, the Fibirish Rabbi Yehuda, Ninta Shemi Bonov made a gam tachtov lo koyal Mashiach. The way Rabbi Yehuda reads that pasuk, the words Bonov and Tachtov are not linked to the word Mashiach. It's the koyal Mashiach. Bonov mitachtov brings the carbon. Ela aliyase, right? Those words align with what should be done. Who should be doing it? The children. And therefore, in Rabbi Yehuda's view, the way that you interpret the pasuk is va'koyin ha-moshiach. First part of the pasuk: if there is a koyin gadol, im meis, who then passes away? Azai, then what happens next in the pasuk is tachto mibona b'yasoi. So whoever is next in line, in other words, his heirs, they are going to bring the chavitin on his behalf. Bonov mevin es korban amincha tachtov. Right, they're the ones who are going to bring the korban mincha on his behalf. Even though you're going to argue, but Rabbi Yehuda, that does not really seem to fit seamlessly in the simplest understanding of the pasuk. We could still argue. The fact that the Torah did use a slightly unusual way of ordering these words, saying the kohen got tachtov, who replaces him, mibana, from his children. Rabbi Yehuda is going to argue, you know what, this actually alludes to another halacha. Rabbi Yehuda will say, well, the obvious meaning of the pasuk is that the next Kohen Gadol in line is also going to bring chavitin. But there's another layer over here, which is, until that happens, the children are the ones, or the heirs are the ones who are going to have to bring the chavitin. Which is, of course, Rabbi Yehuda's argument, that the children are the ones who then represent the Kohen Gadol until there's a new Kohen Gadol appointed. Rashi does not want to go with that opinion. Rashi says that opinion might be accurate, but it doesn't fit the pshat. So therefore Rashi says the only way to truly understand this pasuk is you have to read it as if it was actually ordered differently. As if the pasuk had said, Hamashiach mi bonav tachtov, leloy hefsek ve Mashiach obein mi bonav, without breaking apart the word Mashiach, which refers to the original Kohen Gadol, and bonav, which refers to the heirs. Hakohen Hamashiach shu mi bonav tachtov, aber loy bonav stam, ki das Rashi ikenal. So Rashi is of the view that it's not just any of the children, which remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, might even include daughters, can bring the chavitin on his behalf. Rashi says, no. Shechavita Kohen Gadol boim b'teres kapara al klal Yisrael, because we have to remember that the Kohen Gadol is our representative who's looking to atone for us, and therefore his chavitin are there to atone for us. And in that case, v'Kohen Gadol may be osim kishliach shel klal Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol is our representative. Or memele in makom shebonav shel Kohen Gadol shemei sheim einam kanim gedolim ve'einam shluchim shel klal Yisrael yovir es hakorban. So the pshat is, if the Kohen Gadol is supposed to represent us and he now passes away, you can't just slip somebody into that role. They don't represent us. They were not appointed as the shliach. They cannot bring the korban on our behalf. So, now that we have based all of our interpretations on the fact that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's understanding of what the nature of the Kohen Gadol's Chavitin is whether it's private or public, not only when somebody else is supposed to fill in the absence of the Kohen Gadol, but even when the Kohen Gadol himself is bringing the offering, that will help us to clarify one more point about how the Chavitin are brought. And that is, the Gemara Hikshu, the Gemara Menachos asked the question. So the question which we often have is when you have two individuals who are arguing over the interpretation of a pasuk. So we say, okay, your interpretation is fine, but how do you then deal with the other part of the pasuk which the other person uses for their interpretation? So we're asking Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Shimon, Chok Olam means that the who finances the chavitin if the Kohen Gadol passes away? Olam, the community. So you, Rabbi Yehuda, what do you do with those words, Chok Olam? So Rabbi Yehuda says, interestingly enough, it means Chuka Lo Olam Tehi. It means that this law will be in effect or at all times. Now what does that mean? Biro HaTosfos. So Tosfos right there and then says as follows. I would have thought Aaron makriv chavitin b'chol yoim, that Aaron brings the chavitin because he's the Kohen Gadol daily. Ubonav v'shoshen asa kohanim gedolim, and the children of Aaron, when they, you know, when Aaron passes away and now his children have to survive him and take over as the kohanim gedolim, they would have to bring the chavitin, even though they already brought chavitin when they were inducted into service in the first place. So Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda wants us to understand, well, that's exactly the point. You would think that they've got to bring the chavitin, like, you know, in order to initiate themselves or something like that. Actually not. They've got to bring it on a daily basis because the chavitin has to be brought every single day. That's Rabbi Yehuda's big chiddush, that chok oilam. Whereas Rabbi Shimon doesn't go with that view. In other words, what are they actually arguing about? So it turns out that the debate between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon is not in practice. In practice, everybody knows that the chavitin have to be brought every single day. The question is this something that we would have just known automatically, Rabbi Shimon's view, or is it something we have to learn from the words of the pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda's view? The practice is going to be the same. Right, so moving up behind now. Now, the reason they would have these debates is because of how they each view what the chavitin are. Anything which is a daily occurrence in the Beis HaMikdash on behalf of the community, well then, the community is a constant reality. Like the halacha is that tzibur can never die, an individual could die. So if you're going with Rabbi Shimon's approach, with a chavitin, or a communal offering, and a communal offering is something that can never be suspended, so then, I don't need to find a phrase or a word in the pasuk to tell me that the chavitin have to be brought every single day. Obviously, they have to be brought every single day. It's a communal offering. Communal things never suspend. It's exactly the same as the carbon tamid, which has to be brought every single day. Nobody would ever question that. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda would come from a totally different angle. When the Kohen Gadol brought his offering, it was his personal offering. And there's no such concept as a personal offering that's brought on a daily basis. It's brought as and when the person is required to do so. So now I'm going to need a new special insight that's going to allow me to know that this particular private offering does not conform to the laws of regular private offerings, which suspend when the person is no longer able to bring it or required to bring it. This private offering has to be brought daily, and I need a pasuk to illustrate that to us. So Pizeh Shloimar, which means this is not just a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about the technicality. Do I need a pasuk to prove to me that in fact the chavitin continue undisturbed? It's actually trying to understand what is the consistency of this korban. Yesh loim. If the community has a responsibility, like the Tamid offering, that has to be brought every single day, that doesn't mean that every single day there's now a new obligation on the community today to bring the Tamid. It's a single responsibility, a single obligation that just continues ad infinitum. Just like the community is something which is a continuum, so their carbon is a continuum. The same thing will apply to the Kohen Gadol's chavitin. Rabbi Shimon's view that the chavite Kohen Gadol are a communal offering. Then there's a singular ongoing responsibility to have those chavitin every day. And this ongoing responsibility comes to the Kohen Gadol on the day that he is introduced into service. Like the Korban Tamid, which comes into effect when you have a Beis HaMikdash, and then it continues as a singular, uninterrupted responsibility at all times. And if you don't need a pasuk to tell me that if a Kohen Gadol is no longer alive, that the chavitin continues. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's view, which is it's an individual responsibility of the individual Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, to bring on a daily basis. Because we know that individuals do not survive in the long term, unlike communities, then you have to say that the nature, the repetitive or ongoing nature of this korban is shebechol yoim veyoim chol al kohen gadol chiv chodesh bifne atzme la'akriv chavitin. It means every single day the kohen gadol is still here. That means today he has a new responsibility to bring today's chavitin. That will also explain to us the insight of the Teres Kalim on the pasuk that says, "Zeh korban Aaron biyomi mashachis agomi mincha tomid." This is the offering that Aaron had to bring on the day that he was inducted into service, a consistent, constant mincha. Zeh l'shein says the Teres Kalim, "Meyoyim shenimshach mevi asiri soifo ad oilam." From the day that Aaron becomes the Kohen, he brings this tenth of an ephah of Seudas forever. You would think maybe the Pasuk is telling us that on the day he's inducted into service, that's when he brings the Chavitin, and that's it. It ends thereafter. Talmud Loimer Mincha Tomid. Therefore, the Torah adds the words that it is a constant Mincha. So then why did you have to say it's on the day he was inducted into service? If you're about to tell him it's Mincha Tomid, that it continues throughout his whole career, why did you start off by confusing us and saying B'yoyim, on the day he's inducted? Why? Because from the day he's inducted, he has to bring it every single day. Okay, but in a moment, that does make sense. What's the Teres Kalim telling us? That from the words B'yomi Moshach Hoysoi, we know that from the time he begins his role as the Kohen Gadol, then he continues bringing the Chavitim forever. He had the pasuk just simply said Mincha Tomid and no further information. We'd obviously understand that Tomid means always. And we would know from when he becomes a Kohen Gadol. So what's the Teres Kohanim telling us that we don't already know? Well, what the Teres Kohanim is telling us is Shekol Yoim Ad Oilom Nikra Yoim Imoshach Hoysoi. The Teres Kohanim is aligning with Rabbi Yehuda's view, which is that every single day the Kohen Gadol brings the Chavitin, it's like the first day he ever brought it. It's a new responsibility. Which means, in a sense, that his original first day as Kohen Gadol is being reintroduced every single day. And that helps us to understand what the Torah intends when it says it is a Mincha Tomid. Who the consistency is. That he has a responsibility every single day to bring that korban as if today is his first day. That's not just a wonderful inspirational thought, it actually has practical application. If we go with this view of the Teres Kohanim aligned with Rabbi Yehuda about what Minchas Tomid means, then every single day the Kohen Gadol brings his Chavitin, it's like the day he's inaugurated. That gives us the option to say goes without saying that the Kohen Gadol could never perform any of his responsibilities as a Kohen Gadol until he has been inaugurated into service, which requires the Chavitin. Well, then kainu gam b'chol yom v'yom. Then practically, the same would apply every single day. He would not be permitted every single day to start doing any other avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, at least not l'chatchila, until he brought the Chavitin. So now with that insight, looking from the perspective of the Teres Kohanim, that because the Kohen Gadol, in their view, is bringing the Chavitin as an individual, and therefore has to renew this commitment daily, and therefore the inauguration of the Kohen Gadol is an ongoing process, that every single day the korban that the Kohen Gadol is bringing is essentially reinitiating him. That fits beautifully also with the Chassidish parasha in the Kutta Torah this week. Apashas Shavuazeh. Because Rabbeinu Azog and Makshe Shom, Al-Lashen HaKosav Yomim Moshech Hoysoi. There the Alter Rebbe asks the question about the fact that the Torah says on the day that Aaron was inducted into service. Says the Alter Rebbe, surely it would have made more sense to say that it's from the day he was inducted into service, because it's not an event that happens only on that day. Because as we've already pointed out, it's going to say that this is an ongoing or regular offering. Omevoir, and says the Alter Rebbe in Chassidish language, which we've just learned in the Toras Kehanim. That every single day of the Kohen Gadol's service, what's going to radiate right through his service is the original day of induction into service. And that's this incredibly paradoxical power of Aaron's dedication. Every single day, he is redoing the korban as if it was the very first time, and bringing about and revealing whatever energy entered the world for the first time, every single day. And that aligns perfectly with and actually explains far better what the Medrash was telling us, that every single day of Aaron's service is b'yom himoshachoy soy, is the day of his induction. Perhaps one lesson that we could learn from this is that every single day of our service of the Eibishter should have that koyach and that revelation of the very first time that we did so.